Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, the Activities of the Prachetas, Text Number 11. Yad yuyam pitor adesham agrahishta mudanvita atova usati kirtir lokan anu bhavishati yad yuyam pitor adesham agrahishta mudanvitaha atova ushati kirtir lokan anu bhavishati. Yadyuyam pitor adesham agrihishta mudanvita atova ushati kirtir lokan anu bhavishati. Yadyuyam pitor adesham agrihishta mudanvitaha atova ushati kirtir lokan anubhavishati. Ladies, yada yadampatir adesham agrihishta mudanvita atova ushati kirtir lokan anubhavishati. Yadyuyam pitor adesham agrihishta mudanvita atova ushati kirtir lokan anubhavishati. Yet, because yuyam, you, pitu, of your father, adesham, the order, agrihishta, accepted, muda anvita, in great happiness, ato, therefore, va, your, ushati, attractive, kirti, glories, lokan anu, throughout the universe, bhavishati, will become possible. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because you have with pleasure accepted within your hearts the order of your father and have executed those orders very faithfully, your attractive qualities will be celebrated all over the world. Please repeat. Because you have with pleasure accepted within your hearts the orders of your father and have executed those orders very faithfully, your attractive qualities will be celebrated all over the world. Purport. Since every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has small independence. Sometimes unintelligent men ask why one is put into a miserable condition, even though everyone is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of his minute independence, the living entity can obey or disobey the orders of the Supreme Lord. If he obeys the Supreme Lord's order, he becomes happy. If he does not, he becomes unhappy. Therefore, the living entity creates his own happiness or unhappiness. The Supreme Lord does not enforce these on anyone. The Supreme Lord prays the Prachetas because they all faithfully obeyed the orders of their father. The Lord therefore blessed the sons of King Pratibharishat because they obeyed their father's orders. So the text again. Yadyuyam pitor adesham agrihishta mudanvita atova usati kirtir lokan anubhavishati. Translation, because you have with great pleasure accepted within your hearts the orders of your father and have executed those orders very faithfully, your attractive qualities will be celebrated all over the world. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Bhricharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Siddharane. Srimad Bhagavatam is a story mostly about the Mahajans, Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilomanu, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishmam, Vayur, Vyasakira, Vayam, Balir, Vyasakira, Vayam. In other words, why are we reading about the Mahajans? Why are we hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Why is it in 9 cantos before we get finally to the 10th canto? And then why are there 11 and 12 cantos too? Was it just to fill up some more books so we can sell more? Otherwise, if we only made a small Bhagavatam, we could only have a small Bhagavatam set. We couldn't collect enough of the deities to maintain them. No, I don't think Krishna or Srila Vyasadeva or Shukadeva Goswami was thinking, let me continue the talk for 12 cantos so eventually our followers can make more money selling more books. If we cut it short, my dear Pariksha Maharaj, surrender to Krishna, think of Krishna, become his devotee, and that's it, and good luck. No, it's to show us practical examples of how to become conscious of Krishna. In other words, the actual goal has been set from the very beginning of the Bhagavatam. Janma dyasya to vayan itaratash chatesh vabhigasura. Our objective is the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is swarat, independent, and all-knowing. And how to become conscious of Krishna, dharma, prayodita, kaitavotra, paramo, nimatsaranam, siddham. It's understandable by persons who have given up all kinds of misgivings due to their attraction to kaitava. Cheating religion, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, meant for sense gratification rather than for obtaining love of God. And here, one of the examples of devotees are showing us how to transcend that materialistic consciousness is exactly what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, their example. Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajantam pratipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yena mam upyandite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. It is not like there's some other process that let us sit around and hear Radha Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and somehow or another we'll develop love of God. Although when we're sitting around, we're sleeping and dreaming not of Radha Krishna's pastimes, but something else. In other words, if we hear about Radha and Krishna before we're actually qualified, then we'll think Radha and Krishna are some boy and girl having their lusty pastimes in a place called Vrindavan. Therefore, it is not so important to hear about Radha and Krishna's pastimes. What is important is to find out what her mood is of service to Krishna and to practice that mood in our practical activities. Obviously, we're not about to find Krishna in some grove in Vrindavan right now. We will find Krishna if we're practically doing our service consistently. And what is that consistency? It's quite deep. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chaitasa sarva karmani mai sanyasi matparaha puri yogama pashitya matshitak saratam bhava. And all activities depend upon me. Work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. In other words, it is not that consistency means somehow or another we do drag ourselves from one service to another, and therefore I'm very consistent. No, we have to know what Krishna actually wants us to do, and we have to have enough information of how to perceive, how to discern that. Because most of the time we're not very conscious of our position as a servant to Krishna, or the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And therefore it takes practice to actually get into that service attitude, that service mood. And that service mood is not that somehow or another I chant my 16 rounds a day, then after the 16 rounds, as Prabhupada once did, he was finished chanting, put the final bead down, bead bag down, the final bead down, or up, however you want to see it. And then he threw the beads on the desk and said, now I've finished my 16 rounds, now I can do any damn thing I want. No one has the chanting 16 rounds and everything else is to develop this mood of service. Then, if we have the mood of service, whatever we're doing, then, didami buddhi yogam tam, Krishna will give us intelligence. But what is that intelligence? He'll remind us of Krishna's representatives, their instructions, as well as the instructions of Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. As well as the fact that this material world doesn't actually belong to us. Neither our body nor anyone else's body belongs to any of us. It all belongs to Krishna, and it's meant to be utilized for Krishna's service. And Krishna is not trying to keep his service a secret. It's not like, no, we can't figure out. It's too deep what Krishna's service is. Chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, remembering Krishna, the nine processes of devotional service, and especially the five powerful processes of worshiping the deities, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees, living in a holy place, or making wherever we go into a holy place by presenting Krishna there. Because if we present Krishna in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books, in the form of the holy name or prasadam, in the form of our remembering Krishna, our consciousness, then that's what actually makes a holy place holy. The fact that Krishna is present. A holy place is not holy because it has a name being a holy place. Or there's people there collecting donations showing the deity. No, it's a holy place because Krishna's service is going on there. And Krishna's service in this age is the Sankirtan movement, bringing the deity of the holy name out to the general public to make every place in this world a holy place. Therefore, if we actually understand what Krishna wants us to do, and we're doing it, as it says here, with great pleasure, because we're not about to do everything with great pleasure. We're lucky if we do what we're supposed to do. Even if it's not with great pleasure, at least, first of all, there's duty. What we're supposed to do. If we're not doing what we're supposed to do, if you can do so many things with great pleasure, but if it's the wrong thing, you'll just get into more trouble. And even if you do begrudgingly or mechanically what we're supposed to do, that at least there's hope in the future that we might make some progress. As Prabhupada was asked, what happens if you don't feel like dancing? What should you do? So Prabhupada said, dance. I don't feel like dancing. Oh yes, Prabhu, you don't feel like dancing. We don't want to force you to do anything. It's all voluntary. Just do what you feel like. However your heart moves you, you just do that. Well, I feel like going to McDonald's. Well, whatever, however your heart moves you, just do it. We don't want to repress our feelings. No, it's all nonsense. We do want to repress our feelings. Otherwise, we'll go to hell if we don't. There's so many people who haven't repressed their feelings, and they're now in the lower species of life. Therefore, Krishna says, Tani sarvani samyamya yukta sthitama praha vishayi yasyendriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. One who restrains his senses and fixes his consciousness upon me is known as a man of steady intelligence. He doesn't say, oh, don't restrain your senses, Prabhu. Don't, you know, just try and fix your conscience on me as you are doing whatever you feel like doing. Now, Krishna doesn't agree. And if someone doesn't agree with Krishna, then they're a rascal. So we do have to repress our unwanted feelings, or at least we have to repress them, but not simply artificially, but by engaging in a higher activity. Krishna doesn't say, one who restrains his senses and just keeps on restraining them, I wanted to, I can't. Krishna told me not to, I can't do it. I really want to do it. Let me go, Krishna. No, it's the same thing Krishna said previously, where he said, Karmendriyani samyamya yaste manasa smaran indriyartha vimudatma mityacharas uchite. That one who restrains his senses, but his mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. But Krishna doesn't stop there. He doesn't say, don't restrain your senses and let your mind dwell on their sense objects if you feel like it. No, he said, yes, if you restrain your senses, but your mind is on the sense objects, then you're a pretender. So what does he want? Us not to restrain our senses? No, restrain the senses, but fix the consciousness on Krishna. Yes, tva indriyani manasa niyamya vitarjana karmendriyai karma yogam asakta savishishate. That one who regulates his senses and at the same time becomes Krishna conscious, that's the proper way of doing it. And how to do that, first of all, it's a very consistent philosophy. First, we have to hear the philosophy. We have to hear. That's the way every activity goes on. Even material activities go on because people hear. Just like nowadays, for those who go on the internet, you'll find out they're advertising what's called an Apple Watch. You've heard of the Apple Watch? Have you heard of the Apple Watch? Anyhow, it's good, their propaganda is not so good so far. But the whole idea is massive propaganda. Anyone who happens to read a newspaper or read a magazine or go on the internet or see the news, it's all Apple Watch, take a bite. The newest flavor. And constant repetition, the glories and, you know, the Apple Watch will expand your consciousness into you'll be able to control the material nature without any effort. The demigods will come and surrender to you. When they see you have an opera watch, they'll offer respects. There's a certain application, you just press it and you're, you know, Indra. You have a direct line with Indra. So there are so many praises about this Apple Watch. So people think, well, I'm missing out on something, let me get it. Whether it's Apple Watch or the newest toothpaste or underarm deodorant, whatever it might be. Massive propaganda nowadays. Subliminal propaganda or billboards or magazines or the internet or school. Somehow or another, fill people's minds with the idea that they have to do something, they need something in order to achieve awareness and bliss consistently. So similarly, we have to hear about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, how to engage in Krishna's service, what Krishna's, who Krishna is, who we're serving, who Krishna's devotees are, what the spiritual world is, what this world is. So much has to be heard. And the final perspective is everything here is meant for Krishna's service. And it takes some intelligence how to utilize things properly in Krishna's service. then we may ask exactly according to time, place, and circumstance how to engage the different energies in Krishna's service. And then how to do it with mat paraha, with some desire to please Krishna. Some idea favorable, anukulyena. Find out anushilanam, what is the proper thing to do, but also anukulyena, and a favorable attitude. That we actually see Krishna's interest and my interest as being the same. Not that I'm just a servant of Krishna, I'm a slave. If I don't serve Krishna, he'll slap me. The material nature will come and chastise me. So I gotta do it. I don't wanna do it. I'm forced to do it. I got all this knowledge. I wish I didn't have it so I could be free to do whatever I want. But I got captured by these cult, and now I gotta serve this deity called Krishna. Or else I'm in trouble. No, that's not anukulyena. That's unfavorable devotional service. It's not devotional, obviously. It doesn't have any hint of devotion. It's simply out of fear. Of course, it's better than nothing. Even Kamsa served Krishna unfavorably, and he got benefited by it. But it should be favorable. Krishna's a nice person. He actually loves everyone, including me. I'm working for everyone's benefit, including my own benefit. It's not something apart from my benefit. Not that I serve Krishna, he gets all the result, and I wind up starving in the street because I'm a member of the cult. The leader got everything, and all the followers are just left starving, deprived of everything. Maybe they get a little maha every other Sunday. Obviously, that's not how it works. No, one should have no goal in life, save and accept, act in Krishna consciousness, just to satisfy Krishna. Just to water the root of the tree, so all the water goes to the leaves and branches. Just to supply food to the stomach, so that the different parts of the body are served. That has to be our understanding of serving Krishna. That we can't be happy, we can't gain real awareness unless we serve Krishna. That no one can be happy, no one can actually understand things properly unless they're engaged in devotional service. Unless you water the root of the tree, the water will not be properly distributed to the leaves and branches. Unless we supply food to the stomach, the different parts of the body will not be served. So Krishna is the center. That we have to become convinced of. And then if one doesn't want to do that, he wants to, you know, do whatever he wants, and then, you know, if it doesn't work out, then we offer the result to Krishna. Prabhupada said that sort of duty is not in Krishna consciousness. That order of Krishna comes down to, through the simple succession from the bona fide spiritual master. So if one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then one's success in life and Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. So then Krishna, in the next verse, he says, machita sarva dorgani mat prasada tarishasi ata chetvam ahankaram nishoshasi vinankshasi. Machita sarva dorgani, if you become conscious of me, then you'll pass over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. All our material identifications, our attachments, our anarthas, our misgivings, then they'll actually go away as much as we become conscious of Krishna. There's no other way of doing it. There's no psychology we can take. There's no social development we can take. There's no, you know, progressive understanding of how to develop our self-esteem and our whatever else we want to do. That won't help us ultimately. Especially not in Kali Yuga. Only by doing what's necessary to become actually aware of Krishna, to purify our spiritual senses so we contact with Krishna in Krishna consciousness. Then we'll pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by Krishna's grace. If however you work, not hearing me, then you'll be lost. So if we're not conscious of Krishna, we're not conscious of Krishna's instructions, we just do our things during the day, and we're not really understanding why we're doing it, or what we're trying to get, or we're just hankering for some result, which is not really part of Krishna consciousness, or lamenting over something because it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. That's not Krishna consciousness. Then we'll be just lost in our material concepts of life, simply serving our mind and senses, being bewildered, sometimes being, well, most people in the material world nowadays, though it's called, sometimes you're very passionate and very enlivened, and bipolar disorder. Something's completely enthusiastic, overwhelmed with one's success and glories, the next moment completely depressed and no self-esteem, and just like a yo-yo, up and down. So consistency will not be achieved by, you know, oh, Prabhu, I'm feeling depressed. Oh, don't worry about it. You're a nice person. No, it'll be achieved when we actually hear properly about Krishna, when we try to use our intelligence, understand what we've heard, and then apply it within our lives in a practical way, enough so that Krishna becomes pleased and then reveals himself to us so we actually become aware at least what we're doing. Tesham sadatam yuktana. Tadami buddha yogam tam. At least Krishna gives us enough intelligence so gradually we make progress in seeing things more and more clearly. Who we are, who everyone else is, what the goal of life is, who Krishna is, what he actually is like. Is there actually a Krishna? Is he really my friend? Etc. So here, Krishna, Lord Vishnu, is congratulating the Prachetas because they were able to execute their service with full consciousness and enthusiasm. And therefore Krishna was constantly directing them, giving them more and more intelligence, how to do their service with more and more consistently absorption and more and more enthusiasm. Krishna was more or less giving more and more of his association, more and more pleasure and enlightenment, so the Prachetas were constantly more and more encouraged in what they were doing, consistently. And therefore, they're like the lights, or as Maharaj Yudhisthira said, Bhavan Vidas Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhutak Swayam Vibho Tirtha Kauravanti Tirthani Swantak Stanakatabhrataha. Maharaj Yudhisthira praised Vidura. He said, saints like yourself, they're verily holy place of pilgrimage. Because wherever you go, you turn that whole place into a place of pilgrimage. Why? Because you carry Krishna within your heart. So that's what people should be glorified for, because their absorption in consistently, enthusiastically serving the mission of Krishna, and therefore from their heart is emanating transcendental bliss and love, and illuminating the atmosphere in pure, and not only the atmosphere, but by their instructions and example, manifesting Krishna within this world. That's actually glorifiable. Everything else, people are just wasting our time. They may be helpful because the Bhagavatam says we should try to keep good health, and we should, you know, have some expertise in executing our service in certain circumstances, but without Krishna being the goal, and without manifesting Krishna in our service, then it's shrama eva hi kevalam. Duties, dharma, executed by men, are just so much useless labor if they don't provoke attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his service. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any comments? Questions? Breathe. Yes.
About the suppressing of these desires of the mind, have to suppress and meditate on Krishna. How can we deal with this?
Suppress, generally speaking, we just try to become, if we're thinking about Krishna, then we generally try to become aloof from the desires. Puryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti yadvat tadva kama yam pravishanti sarve seshantim apnoti nakama kami. Person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled but is always still, can alone attain peace. Not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So our process is to add Krishna and therefore become aloof from the materialistic desires for sense gratification. Or when Arjuna asks Krishna, what is the symptoms of a self-realized person? Prajahati yada kaman sarvam partha manogatan atmanya vatmana tushta stita pragas tadochate. Prajahati yada kaman, a person who gives up all desires of sense gratification, which arise from mental speculation, and who finds satisfaction in the self alone, he is said to be fixed in perfect knowledge. So we're just giving up desires arising simply purely out of mental speculation. But instead of that, we're trying to find pleasure in Krishna alone. It's not that we're simply giving up mental speculation, but we're also trying to focus our consciousness on Krishna. So we actually take pleasure in thinking about Krishna while we're doing whatever we're doing. And the gopis, we don't find the gopis simply churning butter thinking, what a menial task I've been doing forever. When am I ever going to get some good job around here? I got to do it or else they won't give me anything to eat. No, they're churning the butter, but they're glorifying Krishna. They're thinking about Krishna. Whatever they're doing, Mother Jasoda, the coward boys, whatever, whether they're with Krishna, they're always thinking about Krishna. And therefore, there's unlimited pleasure they're experiencing. Yadavide mama cheta krishna padara vinde nava navarasa damanyu yatam rantim asit tadavide patas nari sangame smarimane bhavati muka vikara shustu nistivanam cha. Ever since I've been engaged in remembering the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and taking ever new pleasure in thinking about those activities, whenever I think of my past activities and sense gratification, my lips curl into disgust and I want to spit at the thought. So it's by getting the higher pleasure that we become aloof from the lower taste. We just don't walk around spitting everywhere. Anything else? Yes.
So pretending to be one who contemplates this, chanting and thinking about the fulfilling desires, chanting Hare Krishna, thinking about fulfilling desires, this is pretending.
Yeah, sure.
But if we chant and we are attacked by six enemies, just chant.
Then we don't think, wow, fantastic, finally they came. Relieve me from this boring chanting. Now I got something really to think about. That would be a pretender. But if we think we're being attacked, then we have to chant more. So we actually become aloof. It's not that all our attachments suddenly go away. But if we welcome them, oh, finally the attachments come back. Fantastic. That would be not very good. We have to tolerate. Matras parshas to continue. Sometimes these things will come, they'll disturb us, but we have to tolerate and go on with our process. Therefore, a pichad sudaracharo, even if one commits an abominable activity, Krishna says, if he's engaged in devotional service, then he's said to be rightly situated. So we become deviated at some point. Until we come to the platform of nishta, to some degree, we're going to become deviated. But we don't welcome the deviation. We don't do it purposely. It may come unexpectedly, and then we simply go on with our activities of devotional service. And by purification, gradually, we'll become more steady, and these desires and these impulses will gradually diminish. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.